How would your behavior change if you thought somebody was watching you? Two studies suggest that you might start acting more honestly. In 2006, in a university where there was a lounge where professors came in, there was a on your honor kind of thing for coffee and tea. And so if you drank it, you were supposed to put money in the box. Well, not a lot of money was going in the box. So they tried a 10-week kind of study thing. And so the first week, they put a thing with flowers on, a pitcher, and it said, please, you know, if you buy, take coffee, tea, put money in. The second week, they had menacing eyes looking out from the poster, saying the same thing. After 10 weeks, they found that when the menacing eyes were on, people put three times as much in the box for their coffee and tea than when the flowers were. 2012, they did another study, and this was in a university in England. And what happened in a certain part of the university, bikes were getting stolen like crazy. And so they put up a sign with eyes saying, "We are watching you, bike thieves." And in that area of the university, the stealing of bikes went down by 62%. But in the rest of the university, it rose by 65%. The thieves kept stealing bikes. They just went down the street to get away from those eyeballs of judgment and accountability. As hidden as we think certain parts of our lives are, there's a good and gracious God who sees all. Does this change how we choose to live? Let's pray. God, we come to you recognizing in many ways that we're frail and broken people, often so inclined to do what is wrong. We don't want to hide from you, and we don't want to separate ourselves from you because of sin. By your grace, empower us to do what is right, even when it seems like no one is watching. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is in Amos chapter 6, 1 to 14. This is the last Sunday in June, so July is starting next week, and I'll be back in Galatians chapter 4 if you want to read ahead for what's coming. Amos 6, 1 to 14. Ernie has it up there for you. "Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria, the notables of the first of the nations to whom the house of Israel resorts. Cross over to Calna and see from there to go to Hamath the Great, and then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms, or is your territory greater than their territory? You put far away the evil day and bring near a reign of violence. Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and lounge on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp and like David improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away. The Lord God has sworn by himself, says the Lord, the God of hosts, I abhor the pride of Jacob and hate his strongholds, and I'll deliver up the city and all that's in it. If 10 people remain in one house, they shall die. And if a relative, one who burns it, takes up the body to bring it out of the house and says to someone in the innermost parts of the house, is anyone else with you? The answer will come, no. Then the relative shall say, hush, we must not mention the name of the Lord. For the Lord commands, and he will shatter the great house to bits and the little houses to pieces. Do horses run on rocky crags? Does one plow the sea with oxen? But you have turned justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood. You who rejoice in Lodabar, who say, have we not by our own strength taken Karni for ourselves? Indeed, I'm raising up against you a nation, O house of Israel, says the Lord God of hosts, and they shall oppose you from Lebo Hamath to Wadi Araba." Have you ever been in a situation where you knew things were changing, but you were not quite sure how to respond? This happens in all of our lives. For those who are in high school, And the eventual momentum takes you to grade 12 and graduation. But sometimes it's not clear what the next step's going to look like. This can happen in friendship when we move from one city to another, where we had developed strong friendships, but now we've been uprooted into a new physical geographical region. How do parents handle the change to their children moving away from home and starting a life of their own? Don't answer that. How do we handle when death separates us from the ones we love? The nation of Israel is in one of these peculiar or unpredictable positions in today's text. On the outside, everything seems to be going fine. For those in power or at the top of the heap, they still are having things go their way. They're living lavishly and throwing parties. What is not to like about their situation? The status quo has carried them to where they are presently, and so there's no reason to believe anything is going to change or be different anytime soon. Sometimes we can live in denial that what is happening won't have any impact on us. This is the position Israel's in. They're going through the motions in their apparent devotion to God by performing sacrifices and carrying on with the prescribed celebrations and festivals, but something is missing. Something is wrong. It is not hard to determine what it is. In every sense, although they appear to be sitting on the outside, they're standing on the inside. They are defiant and want to go their own way without God's involvement. They appease with their lips, but their hearts are far from the Lord. As we go through this passage today, it gives opportunity for us to search our own hearts and where we're at in our relationship with Christ presently. The prophet Amos continues his prophetic oracle, both affirming and explaining what was to come in Israel's ongoing distorted relationship with God. In verse 1, the prophet warns both the southern kingdom, made up of the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, known as Judah, and the northern kingdom, which is made up of the 10 tribes known as Israel. Alas, for those who are at ease in Zion, being Judah, and for those who felt secure on Mount Samaria, being Israel, the notables of the first of the nation to whom the house of Israel resorts. The New Living Translation says it like this: what sorrow awaits you. When we perceive or believe that things are going well in our lives, we're often surprised by hiccups or something bad that is coming around the corner. We have come across a four-leaf clover. We just got married. We finally got the job position we wanted. We just had our first child. When things are going so well, people often say, go buy a lottery ticket. With your luck, you can't lose. Everything is going our way, and who knows, we might win that $1 million as well. What could go wrong? Possibly everything. Israel feels secure because of their luxury. We can feel secure because of our bank accounts, our houses, our jobs, education, or our connections. Someone will rescue us if things go south, if they sour. Verse 2 points to the nation that Israel looked up to. Cross over to Calna and see Hamath. Go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms? Or is your territory greater than their territory? The questions are rhetorical. Question: are you better than these kingdoms? Answer: no. Question: do you have greater territory? Answer: no. These great cities to the east, north, and west have been destroyed because of their pride. This is a wake-up call for all of Israel. If things don't change quickly, they're going to end up just like these other cities. Have you ever had a wake-up call in your life? I know that I have. Car accidents, family difficulties, health issues, work uncertainty. Verse 3, O you that put far away the evil day and bring near the reign of violence. The idea of a coming disaster is pushed so far in the recesses of those in Israel's minds, you can't find it. All the while, they continue to act in ways that speed up their coming judgment, moving it closer by the minute. Sometimes, this is hard for us to grasp. In our culture, we often feel we're not guilty until we're caught. And by the time we're caught, there's no way out of the trap. The consequence of our actions will fall down on us. Verse 4 to 7 are bunched with a collective thought of abundance and abuse, with each person only looking out for their own self-interest. Verse 4. Those who lie on beds of ivory, they lounge on couches, eat on the best lambs of the flock, best calves in the stall. The text smacks of extravagance. The best of the best, houses, furnishings, and food. Your average person can only dream of such delicacies. Verse 5, who sing idle songs on the harp, and like David, improvise on instruments of music. David was the king who had time to compose songs as the leader of the lamb, of the land. His songs actually had depth to them because they were grounded in his dependency on God. David was the greatest king Israel ever had, but he's long dead. These in Israel acted like kings. While their songs were nothing more than trite and trivial expressions of shallow lives. Verse 6 and 7, they drink from wine bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Jacob, the nation. Therefore, as a result, they'll be the first to go in exile, and their rivalries will end. These were the people in the nation who were to carefully watch out, to care over the people, to help direct them in their spiritual devotion toward the one true God. In reality, they were to be like shepherds to the sheep. But instead of protecting and setting a moral compass for the nation, they used their position to accumulate power and wealth and all that comes with it. Their so-called parties and celebrations will come to an end, as they'll be the ones in the nation that are first exiled into slavery. Things aren't fair in life, and sometimes it seems like people are getting away by breaking all of God's commands. But this will come to an end, and there will be a day of reckoning. There always is. Verse 8 to 10, the Lord abhors the pride of Jacob. He hates his strongholds, and I'll deliver up the city. Why does God hate their arrogance and their fortified cities? Because this is what the nation is trusting in to protect themselves. What ultimately decides our destiny is our relationship with God. It's not our possessions, it's not our government, and it's not the size of our army. Verse 9 and 10, people who remain in the house all will die. And when a relative comes to bury the dead, they'll ask, has anyone survived? And the answer will be, no. The lone relative will say, we must not mention the name of the Lord. The judgment of God will fall so heavy on the nation of Israel that those who are still alive don't even want to mention the Lord's name for fear of drawing his attention. God will be Israel's enemy instead of their friend. Our lives always work better when God is our friend. Verse 11, see the Lord's commands, and the great and little houses will be smashed to bits. When the Lord speaks, you can guarantee it'll happen. It is God's word that never fails. Verse 12 starts with two rhetorical questions. Do horses run on rocks or boulders? Answer, no. They would fall and injure themselves. Does one plow the sea with oxen? Some translations say plow the cliffs. Again, the answer is no, it'd be preposterous. It'd be foolish to attempt to do this with horses and oxen. In the same way, it's foolish how Israel has turned justice into poison and righteousness into wormwood or bitterness. The justice system was to hold the nation's moral compass, giving it health, but instead it fed them poison. The fruit of righteousness, Daryl Johnson defines righteousness like this. It's right relationship with us and God and right relationship with each other. Righteousness. The fruit of righteousness was to provide integrity, to refresh. Instead, it brought bitterness. The final verses, 13, 14. You who rejoice in Lodebar, who say, haven't we won by our own strength in Karni for ourselves? Although the nation was doing their own thing and following false gods, they had won a few military victories. Sometimes we're making foolish decisions and the consequence of our actions haven't exactly caught up to us yet. This is where Israel's at, seeding their wild oats, but the harsh harvest is coming. Verse 14, Israel, I'm indeed raising up a nation against you that will oppress you throughout the land. When God starts dealing with this nation by disciplining them for their sins against him and others, there will be no place to hide. A prominent businessman made an announcement that he was giving a large sum of money to his alma mater, to the place where he graduated university. And his kids were quite upset about this because they believed his money was their inheritance and they were not happy at all that he was giving this money. Previously, how this man experienced joy was through alcohol. But he had encountered Jesus Christ and it did a complete switch in his life. And so one of his kids said to him, Dad, why are you giving all this money to this university? And he said, it brings me joy. And the child said to him, Dad, have you ever thought of taking up drinking again? It's not other people's choices that will ultimately determine our joy. Rather, it has everything to do with our encounter with Jesus Christ. The nation of Israel has been walking down this road that has been distancing them from God for a long time. When judgment comes, they're going to be surprised, but they shouldn't be. The Lord has been calling them to change their ways for a long time. They don't want to hear the correction. They have set their hearts on the things that are not right. And slowly they've hardened themselves to the good news of God, to do what is right to our neighbor, while loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We see this snapshot, this picture of Israel's condition, and it doesn't look so good. Going through religious motions, sacrifices, honoring religious holidays, but the reality is that their hearts were far from the Lord. Sometimes it's easier for us as an onlooker to see others' faults, failures, sin, than it is to see our own. Why is it so hard to come clean when we know we're a part of things that are wrong? There are amiss in our lives. In part, I think we don't want to see it. Just like Israel won military battles on their own, we have success at business sales, getting good marks, winning athletic competitions. What has God to do with this? And why do we need his help? We can accomplish things on our own, but we would be wise to recognize that it's God who has gifted us to accomplish such things to the glory of his name. How we effectively impact our world is more important than the end goals. Does God have a strong enough hold on our lives so we care about others in our neighborhoods, our schools, our workplaces, as much as we think about ourselves? Do we take advantage of others because of our position, our strength and influence? Or do we use what's at our disposal to serve others? Israel hung on to their so-called religion, going through the motions, but at the same time lost God and seemed clueless to this truth. Like Samson, one of the Old Testament judges who was fooling with things he should have never been a part of. In Judges 16:20, it says, Samson did not realize the Lord had left him. Complacency, affluency often lead to a downfall in people's lives. C.S. Lewis said, pride means I'm more clever than you, richer than you, and more good-looking than you. Is the Lord distant from us this morning? If you do feel that separation this morning, call out to him. The Lord is gracious and willing to forgive as we acknowledge that we have hurt him and hurt others. He longs to be in relationship with each one of us. He truly does forgive our sins, and it's not based on our good behavior or our works, but it's based on the wonderful character of God. I think at times in our lives, when the way is difficult, that we might think that the Lord is punishing us somehow. But this is not always the case. In 1 Peter 4:12, don't be surprised by the fire ordeal you're going through as though something strange is happening to you. No, the way of the cross, giving our lives away like Jesus did, will bring its challenges along the way. Mark 13:13, it says, and everyone will hate you because you're my followers, but the one who endures until the end will be saved. Can anybody put their hand up? Does everybody hate you? Okay, you still got room to go. But equally on the other side of the coin, just because everything seems to be going good on the outside, like Israel was experiencing, doesn't mean that everything's right on the inside. Often we can look at what others have and think we're missing out in some way, but we're only seeing a sliver of the complete picture. How do we end up in relationship with Christ going forward? It starts today by being intentional, making choices in how we treat others with the fruit of the Spirit. Kindness, gentleness, goodness, people of peace, people who are self-controlled. Does anybody here like ice cream? Where are you, Wayne? Could you imagine if you had unlimited resources of ice cream in your fridge? You could pick whatever kind you want. Boy, it would be hard not having at least one bowl of ice cream a day. Self-control is preventing ourselves, limiting ourselves, our freedom, for the best of everyone, for the best of ourselves, for the best of those around us. If I eat all the ice cream, you're not getting any, right? And so we need to allow the Spirit to be working in these areas of our lives. Are the fruit of the Spirit, or did I hit on something soft there with ice cream? Is the fruit of the Spirit functioning in our lives? And if so, can our friends see it in us? Is this how others would characterize our lives? It can be this way when we daily commune with God by prayer and in the Scriptures, by developing good, healthy Christian friends that can speak into our lives. If you don't have any friends like this, look around. Don't wait for them to come to you. Invite them for coffee or to play a game. Allow them to enter your life, because these are the kind of good things, key things, that help us hold on to our relationship with God and one another. Let's pray. God, wherever you're going is where we want to be. We want a fresh start today. Forgive us for our sins, for our wronging others, for breaking your heart. We desire to choose you and surround ourselves with others who love you. We want to run to you instead of away from you. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Worthy of the song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever breathe, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus, above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken, and I will build my life upon your love. It is a shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Couple announcements. I'll do the benediction. We'll sing one more song, then you'll be dismissed. Just a reminder, Thursday is Marie's memorial here, 11 a.m. There's a sign-up sheet for people that want to bring squares or sandwiches. As well, the person that needs someone to walk with them to church and back from church, if anybody's interested in that, contact the church office. And then the summer jam, things that you can donate. Years ago, I went and visited a friend of mine, family in Saskatchewan. They were just on the border of Canada and the States. And he was a pastor, and somebody in their church had connection with a dairy or something. And so he had multiple 5-gallon pails of ice cream of all kind of flavors you could ever imagine in their fridge. I was thinking of moving in, like on a permanent situation. After supper, every day, we had our selection of whatever kind of ice cream we wanted. God created the world with certain principles and certain boundaries. And he did this to protect us. And when we go outside those boundaries, it ends up often being disastrous to us. I could make a lot of good choices in a row and do something dumb, which never happens, does it, Carrie? Do something dumb. And there isn't too much recourse to that. But at the same time, we can make dumb decision after dumb decision after dumb decision. And then one day we wake up and make one good decision, and we wonder why we still have poop in our mouth. We have to keep on making those good decisions that take us toward loving God and loving others. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that today's choices have deep, deep implications to what's going to happen tomorrow, both good and bad. Amen.
Will you please stand with us as we close the service today?
Get your clapping hands ready.
Yeah, that's right.
I know He rescued my soul, and His blood has covered my sin, and I believe. My shame is taken away, and my pain is healed in His name, and I believe. Raise a banner, 'cause my Lord has conquered the grave, and my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. He rescued my soul, and His blood has covered my sin, and I believe. My shame is taken away, and my pain is healed in His name. I'll raise a banner, 'cause my Lord has conquered the grave, and my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. You lift my burden, and I'll rise with You. Dancing on this mountain top to see Your kingdom come. My Redeemer lives. 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 My Redeemer lives.